And they notified us, the Germans, to get ready to go. And so we were supposed to gather whatever we could. We'd get our coats and shoes. And I made another mistake that was dumb. I had a pair of GI shoes that were wearing out, but I saw these others that were English made. And they were worthless. They had more or less cardboard soles, and mine wore out. My feet about froze. Wasn't very nice. Well, on January 27th, we at 11 o'clock p.m., we fell out for a forced march. And I'm sorry, I have this problem with my throat. We were asked to fall out, but it wasn't until 3 a.m. in the morning that we finally got out and started going. We had a 9 hours march to reach Halbau, where they had a church that we stayed in for the night. We had approximately 1,700 men, officers, and the capacity of the church was 900. And I just remember that I had to go to the bathroom. It seemed a lot. And where I was located, there was a colonel lying on the floor there, and I had to step over him. I kept thinking, if I stumble on him, it's going to be bad news for me. But the main thing, I guess I even told about this, but at the church, the only thing I could say was there were only two places, bathroom places, toilet places. And I just said they must have had a lot of nice grass and flowers the next spring. And we left at dawn. We walked past Friedau, a small village. And we stayed at a farm where the barn was built up on cement blocks. And you know that this was in January, so it was cold, the wind was blowing, and I thought that's the closest I think I ever came to freezing to death. One of our generals, General Vanneman, wrote a letter to us and told us what he was doing and how he was working to get us out and so forth. I have that somewhere. On the 31st of January, we went to Moscow, which they had a brick factory there. And we took a crock and put it up against the furnace and hoped that it was warm enough so we could wash up. And as you might well expect, a lot of the men had dysentery and diarrhea. I was fortunate and didn't have either of those. On the 1st of February, we rested and I tried to repair my shoes. Then we rested on the 2nd of February also. We left at 4:30 a.m. and it was 18 kilometers to Braustein. And it was then at dawn we left and went 7 kilometers to Sprenberg, where we were placed on the French boxcars. They were World War I. They said 40 alms, I guess, I don't know how you pronounce it, 40 men and 8 horses, chevaux. And they crammed about 55 or so of us into those. And our biggest problem was, of course, nature calls. And if that came, they didn't stop. I mean, you know, they just went to the side of the boxcar door and that was it, whichever way, whatever happened. And we stopped at a place called Chemnitz, and that was at night. And as we were getting out to answer our major calls and so forth and rest a minute, there was an air raid by the British. And that didn't stop the men from what they had to do. And the German in charge of the depot there came out and he stepped in a little bit of stuff. And I don't know what he said, but I know he swore because he was really mad. And we immediately got back onto our onto the cars as fast as we could. We then went to Munich and on to Moosburg and Stalag 7A, where a lot of them met. and the conditions there were horrible. They had fleas, lice, bed bugs, very little to eat. They had a slit trench for the men to go out to, and we were put about 600 in the building. This one man went out there, and an air raid occurred, and he just said, too bad. He just sat out there while the air raid was on. He had diarrhea, so he wasn't going to move back in regardless. We had no heat and very little food. We had a food ration of about a half a cup of warm water, watery soup, black bread, cheese and blood sausage was our, more or less, the ration. We were flown, there were some other things that happened, like when General Patton's army came, and one night the guards were there, the next night they weren't there. But while they were still there, I was out watching the guards, and these guys were all moving up to where the guard was, and he drew his gun up like this, and he didn't fire, but everybody turned and went as fast as they could the other way. I just got out of their way because I didn't think he was going to fire, and he didn't. Anyway, we found out that Patton was coming, and then we were taken from there to a place called Landshut. All the Germans were supposed to bring their planes in and land them there, all the private planes land them there. And a lot of the guys went up to the planes, and when they'd land, and if the people in there, the Germans in there, had anything, watches, rings, they took them. That kind of went against my grain, so I didn't do that. And when I say that, then I turn around and I went down to the little town that we stayed there at Landshut for the day. Went to this little town, everybody was, you know, they were really afraid of us. And we went into this one home, and I went into this gentleman's back room, and I got a sword. It was from the cavalry in World War I, and I still have that. So maybe I'm not any better than they were. I don't know. But they were deathly afraid that we might be killing them or something, I don't know. We flew there to Landshut in a C-47, and the pilot overflew. And I could see that we were out over the ocean. I said, I think you better turn and go back. I happened to be up there. Because I said, that's the ocean, and then we're not supposed to be out there. He did. We found our landing field, and it worked out all right. I was at Reims, France. That was when, and the war in Europe ended, and the peace treaty was signed on May the 8th. I was there on the 7th, and we went down to be checked over as far as our physical condition was concerned, and be issued new clothes and get shots and whatever was necessary. And when we got there, there was a line of about six out like this all the way around the building. So I says, come on, let's go. I went around to the other side where there was an opening, and I went in. And the Germans, they had asked the Germans to carry blankets, you know. So I says, come on, do what I do. So I went over and I took a blanket off, and he took one off, and the guy kind of just stared at us and didn't say anything. And we saw where they were changing clothes, but we just went over and took our clothes off, put the blankets around. I don't know what we missed, but we missed about 500 or 600 or 700 men who were standing out there getting ready to come in. And then we went upstairs and got our shots and such as that. From there, we went to, they had all the camps along in France named after the cigarettes. Camp Lucky Strike I went to, there was Camp Camel and so on. And I was so hungry and stupid, I went down to the BX and bought 24 Baby Ruth candy bars. And I only ate maybe one or two, but I got sick. I was deathly sick. I threw up an awful lot because my stomach was so unable to handle, especially candy bars, but not very much anyway.